Hey everyone, happy Friday to you. Glad that you are along. Today we're going to do a timeline cleanse, so to speak. You know, you see those now and then if you are on social media at all and you scroll through and somebody puts pictures of puppies or something and something wholesome and pure. It's not quite that, but you know, we are inundated, it seems, with negativity, pessimism, discouragement. There is a great interest, it seems. It's like a magnetic force pulling us to the bad, the hard. The Murphy's Law, if something can go wrong, it'll go wrong at the worst possible time, that kind of stuff. And Christians get caught up in this, and our theological presuppositions matter. We're not here today to talk theology, but one of the reasons that I teach New Covenant theology and try to expose what I think are the errors of the other two systems are because they can lead us to what I think is a mistaken view of what God's doing in the world. In particular, dispensational theology is inherently pessimistic. You know, for years, for decades now, they've been saying Jesus is coming back any minute, and it's going to just keep getting worse and worse and worse until he does. And look at all the signs, and they, you know, show events happening all over the world: World War I, World War II. They've always got something to point to and say, "See, these are the signs. It's almost time. Jesus is going to come back." And if you live life and enjoy life and are optimistic, you are basically, as they say, polishing brass on a sinking ship. You know, the Titanic is about to hit the iceberg. Why would you waste time cleaning the decks and doing the dishes and that kind of thing? Well, anyway, I'm not, this is not intended to be theological. I'm just telling you that's not where I'm at. I think that's all wrong. And the scripture as I read it is very hopeful, very optimistic. And we are heading toward some really great times. But not only are we heading toward some great times, we are living in some great times, and past generations have as well. But you and I are alive at a time that is beyond compare to others. Think about going back a few generations, a couple hundred years. I don't know, I'm just making up a time. Imagine a time when most of the population was involved in agriculture, or to put it a different way, where, you know, food was hard to come by. Lots and lots of people raised their own crops, and you might raise some and sell some, trade with others. But being uncertain of having enough food for next season was a reality for most. Imagine talking to that time frame and saying, you know, someday we're going to be in a situation where there are huge storehouses, like bigger than palaces, and they're going to be full of food. And you're not going to have to grow your own crops. You just head on over there and you will come home with a huge basket full of food. And you're going to have things like meat. And you don't have to worry about it spoiling right away. You don't have to rub salt all over it. You're going to have this big box in your house that keeps things at a temperature that will keep it from going bad as quickly. Anyway, you know what I'm getting at, right? We call them stores, the grocery store. It's not that long ago that the idea of having a big storehouse full of food where anybody and everybody can go in there and there's no sign of running out, it's not very long ago that would have been fairy tales, crazy to think about. How about this? I was talking to a friend of mine the other day who is a nurse anesthetist. It hasn't been that long ago that anesthesia was discovered and it was learned how to implement it. Have you had surgery? Now, I've never had surgery. But can you imagine describing to someone a couple hundred years ago? Yeah, the day is coming when if you need to have your arm amputated or your foot amputated because of infection, you will hardly feel anything because you'll be asleep. Imagine trying to convince somebody they could be in such a deep sleep that they wouldn't feel it when somebody cut off a limb. Or can you imagine telling somebody back then, our heart, we're going to be able to take a chainsaw and cut open your chest cavity and rip it open and actually take out your heart, put another heart in, sew it all up, and you're not going to feel the pain while they're ripping you apart. Can you imagine that? Those people would have thought we were crazy. Or imagine thinking that, trying to convince someone a couple hundred years ago, we're gonna build this big, think of a big boat, huge boat, and we're going to send that thing up there way higher than where the birds fly, and we're going to fill it with hundreds of people, and you're going to be able to go from one part of the world to another part of the world in a matter of hours. No, this big boat is actually going to get off the ground and fly like a bird. I mean, they would have all thought we were nuts. And yet here we are. We take this stuff for granted. We go to the grocery store several times a week. In our city, maybe it's true in yours, you can do a Walmart order and they'll deliver it to your door. And we take plane rides and we have all kinds of pain relief and surgeries and all that. So the point is, how easy is it to take for granted that the Lord in his kindness is continuing to teach us more about this world, and we are learning and improving our lives? And we forget how far we've come. The scripture speaks of these things a little bit. I think one verse that always captures my imagination as I think about these things is Proverbs 25:2, which says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, and it is the glory of a king to search out a matter." Now, this is a proverb, and there's not much more information here, but I think what he's getting at is, I think Solomon is recognizing that God has concealed so many wonderful secrets, mysteries, not in the biblical sense, but in the colloquial sense, so many wonderful things in this world, and kings search them out. Kings have the time and the money and the resources and the people to go say, hey, go figure this out. Think about Solomon. If you read Ecclesiastes and just set aside the point of the book for a minute, just look at what the man did. Extraordinary what he accomplished, what he figured out, what was happening. Well, we get a little more of this in Isaiah. This is a passage where God is pronouncing judgment on his people. And as he's using this as an illustration, so right now I don't care about the context much, but I want you to see the illustration he's using to make his point, because it's informative for what we're talking about. He says, this is Isaiah 28:24. "Does a farmer just keep on plowing at planting time? Does he keep breaking up and harrowing his ground?" Obviously, the answer is no. Right? When it's time to plant, you stop plowing the rows. You do that first, and then you plant. But at some point, you have to stop plowing and start planting, or else you're not going to have any crops. Right? That's simple. But the assumption and the point that God is making here is, men figured this out. The concealed matters that it is the business of God to do have been discovered by farmers. They they figured it out, right? He goes on, once he has leveled its surface, he does not scatter the seed of a caraway plant, sow the seed of the cumin plant, and plant the wheat, barley, and grain in their designated places. I'm sorry, I read that with the wrong emphasis. Once he has leveled its surface, does he not? Right. So we have figured out the order of things. You level it out, you plow it, and then you sow the seeds. Notice this. His God instructs him. He teaches him the principles of agriculture. Now, that's not exactly what the Hebrew says, but this is the point, and so that's why I like this. Men learned how to do agriculture most effectively. God taught man. Well, how did he teach man? Through trial and error, and God starts revealing more things. Certainly, caraway seed is not threshed with a sledge, nor the wheel of a cart rolled over cumin seed. Certainly, caraway seed is beaten with a stick and cumin seed with a flail. Men figured out what God embedded in reality. There's the proper way to cultivate and grow these plants, this food from seeds. Going all the way back to the garden, what was the instruction given to Adam in the garden? Cultivate it. I don't think God plopped into Adam's mind all of the skills he needed to raise crops and farm animals and so on. He had to learn that, and he taught it to his sons. We see that in Genesis 4. And we've learned all along. Grain is crushed, though one certainly does not thresh it forever. The wheel of one's wagon rolls over it, but horses do not crush it. This also comes from the Lord of heaven's armies, who gives supernatural guidance and imparts great wisdom. God reveals these things. So again, God's saying this to make a point. But for now, let's look at the illustration. God has embedded in reality all these secrets of how this world can work. And we are finding it out. We have learned how to build machines that can plant acres and acres and acres of seeds, and then go harvest all those crops and separate the wheat from the chaff and pile up that grain and box it up and send it to the stores, and people take it and make different things with it and put that in the stores, and we can just go buy that. We're so used to this, I think we forget that this has not always been the case, where you could just go buy whatever you want at the store. Well, God embedded all of these things, machinery, the combustion engine. Who'd have thought we're going to move things with little explosions going off in a concealed area? And now we're moving to this era where we've learned how to create energy and store it in these things called batteries, and using that to power these machines. So you don't always have to use fossil fuels and so on. Burning coal, all this stuff. So here's where I want to direct your attention. Do you see where things are heading? I think we're heading to some great secrets to be discovered. AI, robotics, they're going to change the world. And as Christians, we should be expecting this. Oh, the secrets that God has concealed that we have not yet discovered. And I've said this before, but does it astound you at all that I'm talking to you? You're in different parts of the country, different parts of the continent. You're in different parts of the world. I have followers from all over the world. And you're seeing my face and hearing my voice. Imagine telling somebody a couple hundred years ago, oh yeah, your kids are going to move away to the other side of the world, and you'll be able to write letters, and months later they'll get those letters, and then they'll write back, and months later you'll get those letters. No, that's not how it's going to work. You're just going to stare into this little rectangular thing, and to a piece of glass basically, and you can talk back and forth. And the thing that's going to make that all happen is a combination of ones and zeros called digits. There's no way you're going to explain that to somebody in previous generations. Well, think of what is going to happen 200 years from now that somebody would try to explain to us, and we'd be like, nah, that can't happen. So, do you realize how, do you realize what's on the horizon with robotics? Have you investigated that enough to see? I mean, we're right on the precipice here of labor, physical labor, being, I don't know, taken over is quite the right word. I can't see into the future, but robotics is going to, so much of the manual labor that men have to do today, robots are going to do. And they don't have to go home and take care of their families, and they don't need rest. I mean, they need some rest. They need some recharging, right? They need to be plugged in eventually and need to be fixed as parts break. But anyway, they don't need vacation time. They don't need to be paid. And their ability, their strength, and they keep going. That's going to change everything. So here's one thing I think is going to happen. I hope it happens. In my understanding, we are doing damage to our fields where they grow crops by planting the same crops year after year after year. Can anybody confirm that? Am I hearing that right? Am I reading that right? It seems like the way God designed crops to work is you need to rotate around and do some different things. And of course you need, you know, it's better with natural fertilizer, get some animals out there and that kind of thing. And that's the way I understand it anyway. I could be wrong. But the mass producing that allows us to have all this stuff in the stores, you know, that we've zoned in where, you know, a wheat farmer grows wheat primarily, that kind of thing. But here's where it may go. And, you know, wild speculation here, but wouldn't it be awesome if we all had a big enough plot of land and AI-driven robots that could plant the crops and harvest the crops, and we teach them how to do it most effectively? I mean, I don't know about you, but I sure love fresh fruits and vegetables. I grew up, we had a quarter acre farm growing up, maybe not quite that big. And, you know, I always had fresh vegetables. And when my wife and I got married, she grew up with canned vegetables. And I remember first time she opened a can of beans, I'd like, oh, what is this? This is fake. I couldn't eat it. And the first time she had some of my mom's pressure canned beans, or real beans, but they were canned in the old school way, and we opened them, so they're fresh beans. My wife didn't like them because they seemed so different from what she used to. But I love, you know, fresh tomatoes, fresh corn, fresh beans, whatever. Imagine having the property and robots growing your own food, so you had and they'd go out and pick it, and they come in and cook it. I mean, that's where we're heading. So you've got whatever food you want, kind of going back to the old ways, except your labor force is going to be a few robots. That's going to be awesome. That's going to be awesome. Have you been keeping up with the full self-driving stuff on the Tesla stuff? You know, I don't know if you pay attention, the stock has cratered. I don't, you know, who knows what that's all about, but it's here. It's right on the edge. Robo-taxi is coming. And it seems like Christians are always afraid of this, and broader cultures afraid of this maybe, but don't be a pessimist. Think about the positive side. We may not need to own cars. You put in your schedule, I need a car out front on, you know, Tuesday at 10 to go to whatever appointment, and you go and you drive, you go to your appointment, come back, and then maybe don't drive, you don't get out of the house the next day or two, you don't need the car. And when AI learns how to drive, and they're very close, you know they're going to be way safer than humans. way safer. That's just the nature of technology. It's going to be way safer. It's going to change the way we do everything. So that's a big name there. It says, sorry, that sounds like hell to me, brother. Just my opinion. My kids are already too lazy. Yeah. So that raises a question, and I don't know the answer to it. You know, what are we going to be doing? As Christians especially, we shouldn't look at this as an opportunity to be lazy. I think there's always going to be work to do. It's just going to be different work. And I agree with the sentiment. We as parents, especially those of you who have young kids during that time, you will have to teach your kids to work. It's just probably going to be different work. I could be wrong, but I think this is inevitable. I think this is where we're heading. So you might as well be preparing for that future, especially the next generation. Amy says, we live in the greatest age of humanity ever, and there is a bright light on the horizon. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Solomon in all his glory, who was, you know, comparably the richest man in the world, maybe the richest man ever, he didn't have as nice a house and the benefits that you and I have. Crazy. Child of Elohim says, it might be in big cities, but I can't imagine it here where I live. Walmart is 2 hours away. Yeah, but drones are going to bring whatever you need from Walmart. I mean, it's coming. Jim says, if you've heard of permaculture, that form of gardening is the closest to the Garden of Eden. Is that right? Is that anything like what I'm describing, or is it totally different? Jeff says, is it possible that the God of this world would use AGI to rule over men? Yeah, obviously it's possible. But that's been said of every technology. And if I'm right, and I may not be, but if I'm right about what the scripture teaches, Jesus is continually crushing the God of this world, and he's going to have less influence, so that these things will be used for our prosperity, not for controlling men. I know it's easy to look around now and say, well, that ain't happening. Look at the governments all over. And I'm not basing my opinion on what I see with my eyes, but what I think the scripture teaches. But I could be wrong about that. And if so, you feel free later on when the world is crashing and burning to say, well, Doug, you blew that one. AI is an amazing study tool, especially if you're like me and know what the Bible says, but you can't remember where. And we haven't even begun to see where this is heading. I mean, the whole area of education. So we homeschooled our kids because we don't trust government schools with anything, and don't trust most Christian schools. But what's coming with AI, the ability to homeschool or have small co-ops and things where you know exactly what's being taught, you have control over what's being taught, and the AI has access to everything that has ever been written, and you'll have your own AI that you can tell it, these are the kinds of things I want my kids taught. And you combine that with robotics, and we haven't talked about the Apple Vision Pro thing that looks all crazy with the goggles and whatever. Well, that kind of technology, and others have done it too. Imagine having access to all the information and being able to go in your visual experience to these places to actually see it work. The learning curve is going to be changed dramatically in the right way, it seems to me. And yeah, Bible study and all kinds of things. Child of Elohim, maybe we are afraid of robots because of how they are portrayed in the movies. Yeah, no doubt. Well, it's not unreasonable to think that AI, have you worked with ChatGPT or any of the others? It's pretty amazing. And they're all in their infancy, not even maybe. It is not unreasonable to think they can be programmed to use the robots to do awful things, which is what's portrayed in the movies. Again, I'm basing my optimism not on what I see in culture, but what I see in the scripture. Certainly, it's possible what you're describing. Would never say I told you so, but the oligarchs that run the AI seem they might not be as pure as the wind. Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm hopeful that they're going to be exposed and light is going to overcome darkness here. Permaculture is not the typical way of farming or even tilling the ground. Yeah, I'll have to look into that. I don't know what that means. Imagine telling a Christian from the Middle Ages we'd have not just one translation of the Bible, but all of them at our fingertips for free. Yeah, exactly. Crazy, huh? Crazy. It's amazing that we can look up almost anything we want, don't have to go to the library, etc. Yeah, you had the library, then you had encyclopedias, but you still had to look them all up and thumb through it, and it could be obsolete in a few years. And now we can't keep up. It's all the real time, everything. First, all AI dogfight tested yesterday. Dogfight or dogfight? Interesting. And health. I mean, there's so much. Again, imagine AI programmed well, assimilating all of the studies, all of the information that every doctor, every medical science pursuit is doing, processing it almost in real time, and then zeroing in on the causes of these diseases and so on, and putting out possible cure. It's gonna blow our mind. I'll save that story for another time. And then powering it all, I think, is gonna be nuclear energy. If you've done any research on Generation 4 nuclear energy, it's safe, and it is, we have the capability. It's right here at hand to power the world. If the right people were in charge and the wrong people were not in charge, we could end world hunger. We could provide water. We could transform this place. It's right there. This one problem I found is that many people have forgot how to study because they just look up the answers, especially with math. Yeah, absolutely. And there's probably always going to be some who are diligent and some who are lazy. I don't know if that's going to change. Well, as the spirit converts more people, although I know plenty of Christians that fit the laziness as well. So, yeah. I'm not persuaded that, you know, it's going to be complete utopia with, you know, no more laziness, no more wickedness at all, that kind of thing. That's not my point. But the point is, if you look back at where things were just 200 or 300 years ago in so many of these areas, and you realize that with AI and robotics, the leaps are going to come so much faster, and they're going to be exponentially bigger. It's pretty amazing, and there's going to be a lot of good. And I again, in the wrong hands, all of these things. I mean, the internet, right? I'm talking to you over the internet. Well, the internet is the location, the source of a great deal of evil, and that's whatever all the Christians were saying when it really started to take off, is, oh, this is just going to be a great tool for evil. On the flip side, we are studying the Bible together, and you can learn so much now. I mean, you know, YouTube, their censorship and their worldview and all that is very troubling, but at the moment, there's still a great deal of good to learn on YouTube, and there are other platforms, obviously. So we don't want to be scared of it. We don't want to, at least I don't. I don't want to look at the worst possible outcome. I'm looking for the better outcome, not perfection, not glorification in the final sense, but I do see the scripture saying that the Lord, as his kingdom is growing, abundance is also going to grow. David says, I think that it takes faith in God and in the word to overcome the natural fear of societal change. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. But that's always been the case. And again, I may be wrong, But as I read the scripture, I believe this is the plan. I believe this is the design, as that stone that is crushing all the other kingdoms and growing into a giant mountain that fills the earth, and that the wealth of the nations stream to Zion. I think all of that is saying the Lord, by his plan and design, is bringing abundance. And we are experiencing it. That's why I started the way I did. We are. This is not a guess that maybe we'll be more abundant. We are exponentially more abundant than just a few generations ago. Certainly from when Isaiah wrote or Paul wrote. So we must not dismiss that. And I think the future looks really, really bright. Jim says, Doug, I was part of a church that believed that Trump was the Antichrist. They also believed the 70th week gap theory. Please help me with this. Look at my series. I did it around the start of the new year. I think it was called, what did I call that? Somebody. The Last Days and the Kingdom, something like that. That's a place to start. And then if you watch my series, What About Israel? I covered Daniel 70 weeks. The bottom line is the 70th week already occurred. The Antichrist was a first century character, and we're not worried about that. That's the short version of where I'm coming from. I think the future's bright. Gotta wear shades. So anyway, I would encourage you to be thankful today. Walk in joy of all the many gifts that God has given us, and all the things that God has concealed that we've discovered. And life is good, and life is so much easier on these realms. Again, you know, death is still death, and relationship, divorce and strife, all that stuff is true and real. So I'm not discounting any of that. I'm just talking wealth, technology, those kind of things, right? So please understand, take me in context here. There are very hard things in life, and it could get worse before it gets better. But at least acknowledge what we are experiencing and have experienced in recent generations, and try to be as objective as you can of where this is all heading. And then again, if you're persuaded by my view of the scripture, this is all according to plan, and it's going to continue to get better. Lewis put the kingdom in the last days. Is that what I called it? Great. David says, it's so difficult to deal with it when the entire room and Sunday school teacher believes all that huge burden. It is, isn't it? And it's the pessimistic view. It's kind of like fear. Fear always attracts. And when Christians teach fear, for some reason, that's very attractive. I don't know why. I don't like it. I don't know why people do. Yeah, the world is getting better and better. We got a long way to go, right? But I believe that. I see that. There are definitely other countries who would disagree that things are great. Indeed. Indeed. And I'm saying what I see is we have the capability to bring great progress to all of them. It really does seem to be the governments, those in power, who are greedy and money hungry and power hungry, who are stopping it. If that gets exposed, if the Lord crushes them, and I've been praying for that, and I've told you, you got to be praying for that too. Remember that Isaiah passage I just read to you? The Lord of heaven's armies? That's Jesus now. He is the commander in chief of a host of angelic beings that do his bidding. Ask him to send those armies to topple these wicked regimes in all the nations across the world and replace them with men who will lead with righteousness and justice. If that were to happen, then I believe the prosperity that the Lord is bringing will expand to all those nations. So I pray for that regularly. Please join me. The Lord hears our prayers. So, all right. Jeff says, how does this not resemble the Tower of Babel unless Jesus is present? Yeah, I think, I mean, if I understand what you're saying, I think I would agree with that. I think Lord Jesus is present, and therefore things are heading a very good direction. Again, does not mean that he's just going to wipe out all wickedness and it's easy street anytime soon, but I think things are getting better. All right, I'm going to leave it there. Rejoice today. Be glad. You always have things you can see to rejoice and be glad in. So do it and show the world some optimism because of Christ. All right, have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Grace and peace to all of you.